Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Sometimes this job can suck the joy out of things for you. For example, I did grow up a 49ers fan, San Francisco Giants fan, living in the Bay Area, and it came to pass that many years later, I ended up working at the San Jose Mercury News, and I was covering the 49ers, and I was covering the Giants, and I found myself covering the team that I grew up rooting for in my childhood, and I was so conflicted, because on one hand, I didn't want to be a homer, and on the other hand, I had a job to do, and then you got to know players that you had maybe romanticized, like Joe Montana. I remember going to Rockland and 49ers training camp to cover it as a media member, and this is when the players used to come in, and the executives used to come in, and they'd eat in the cafeteria where the media were, and Joe Montana came in, and I was in line to get a soda, and he's cut in the line. And I was like, that's Joe Montana, and he's a cutter. He just cut in the line. It ruins things for you. It does. It has the potential to ruin things. I want to go to the Bay Area now, where Jennifer Lee Chan for NBC Sports Bay Area covers the Niners, does it at a high level. Great follow on Twitter joining us. Did you grow up a 49er fan too?
I actually did. My grandfather had season tickets back at Kezar, so I grew up a 49ers fan, although I've never actually lived in the Bay Area, which is odd.
Did you, now that you cover the team, does it ruin that fan part for you, or are you able to balance that?
I think I've grown to be kind of impartial. You always want the team that you're covering to do well anyways, because it's just a better story and it's more fun. But you know, after going through the several years of disappointment and misery recently, it's just nice to have them, you know, be a great locker room and be excited about where they're going. And it really is just a good group of guys.
It's so interesting because they were so non-competitive when Chip Kelly was there, and then now I'm watching guys that, like Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner and some of the guys that he drafted, are now having great success in the current system. What has shifted? How did they get so good so fast?
You know, it really is, you know, it's year three of the rebuild, so while it seems quick because they didn't have a very good season last year, you know, all the games that they lost last year were just one-score games. So they were just on the cusp of it last year, but their record, you know, spoke otherwise. So the turnaround obviously is, you know, more extreme with them starting out 9-0 and, you know, having it be such a surprise to everybody else. But really, they kind of knew what they had in the locker room. It's a lot of talent. There's a lot of good like guys in there. And what's really good about what they've been through the last 2 years is that they have that humble mentality. They have that chip on their shoulder. They've been the underdog. And I think that's just a great place for a good team to be, is to have that underdog status.
Jennifer Lee Chan with us, NBC Sports Bay Area. The Vikings show up. That might be a little unexpected. How do the Niners, in your eyes, match up with Minnesota?
I think it's going to be a challenging one, but I think the Niners, if they play the way they have recently, you know, towards the last of the season, I think they'll be fine. I think that Vikings defensive front is definitely challenging. The offensive line has its work cut out for them, and does the run game. So, but, you know, with a little extra time, Kyle Shanahan is so smart, so good at scheming ways to take advantage of different matchups, that I think they'll have the upper hand. The Vikings traveled to New Orleans. They have to go back home. Then they come out to the West Coast. So, you know, on a short week, they played Sunday and they're playing again Saturday. So the way it is for the first round, you know, the number one seed and that first round bye, it really sets the Niners up nicely for, you know, to kind of go deeper into the playoffs.
You've been around these guys. You've been around the team now for a long time, and you get a chance to kind of see their confidence level. Is there a game this season that you look at where you went, that's when they believe they might be capable of a Super Bowl?
You know, you kind of saw little glimpses of it here and there, but really that game in New Orleans was the one where they really went toe-to-toe with the Saints. And, I mean, they came off that field night. You could just tell that there was a different energy, you know, that they had proven something themselves that they hadn't done all season. So I think that was their biggest game so far. And then, you know, of course, winning in Seattle, which hasn't happened in so long, for them to be able to pull that off, even though it was, you know, again, like the last five games and the last seconds of the last play of the game. I mean, it's just what a confidence builder for them going into the playoffs with the way that the end of the season kind of, you know, came about.
Jimmy Garoppolo, I grew up, and you probably did too, watching Joe Montana and Steve Young, and I'm waiting, you know, here he is, it's his team now. I'm waiting for that moment where I leave a game going, Jimmy won that game for them. Is he capable on this stage? Are you at all nervous or worried, or do you think it's a factor, the fact that he hasn't been in a big-time playoff game before?
Well, I mean, again, you know, you look at the games that they've played, the games that they've won, especially that one with the, you know, in New Orleans against the Saints. They've, as the season has progressed, you know, they relied heavily on the run game early on as he's coming back from the ACL injury. But then as they progress, defenses have come in and kind of, you know, really limited the run game. So with the weight of the offense has really been on his shoulders, and he's handled the pressure really well. He's played well. He's made some really clutch throws. I think, you know, anytime when you have that type of guy behind the line, you're going to get a few mistakes. You're going to get an interception just because they're going to take a risk and really try to, you know, force a situation every now and then. But ultimately he's been really great. His numbers have been fantastic. And I think that the team has tons of confidence in him. And I think it just takes a while sometimes for the national media to kind of come around to, you know, seeing what everybody else is seeing that's been around the facility for the entire season.
Now you're at NBC Sports Bay Area. You used to be a professional wrestler. How do you transition from professionally wrestling into what you're doing now?
Well, the wrestling was a little while ago, but the good thing about it is that there is a lot of wrestling fans on the team. So my bond with George Kittle about wrestling, you know, that bonded us very quickly in his rookie season. There's a bunch of them that enjoy it. So it makes for a good conversation opener. And, you know, when it comes down to guys that have had concussions, I've had one from wrestling. So there's another point of bonding between us.
Now, you know, I've seen some wrestling movies that sort of help me understand it more. What do most people not understand about pro wrestling that we all should know?
You know, we were just having that conversation yesterday in the locker room, to be honest, and, you know, there was conversation about wrestling's fake, like, but no, but it still hurts. It still hurts when you, you know, fall on the mat. It's really just, it's steel rebar, it's plywood, it's carpet padding, and then canvas. So, you know, those guys, especially the big guys that are super athletic, it's amazing that a 300-pound guy can, you know, jump up in the air off the top rope, do a flip, and then land on someone. So they're crazy athletic, and I think that's kind of something that's overlooked.
Jennifer Lee Chan with us, NBC Sports Bay Area. Over in the other side of the bracket, it's Green Bay and Seattle. We all know the Niners handled the Packers pretty easily in the regular season, and those Seahawks games were epic. Who do you think the Niners want in the title game?
Well, I mean, looking historically, of course they want to play the Packers instead of the Seahawks. I mean, it's been a, you know, kind of one of those ongoing kind of rivalries. But I mean, I think they'll be happy with whoever they meet. I think, you know, since they walked away from Seattle with a win, you know, nothing's impossible. So either one of those teams, they've beaten them once this season. So I mean, they'll be able to handle whoever it is.
Best interview in that locker room?
Oh, there's so many. It really is a good group of guys. Kittle's always fun. Sherman has always something to say. Debo Samuel has been really fun to cover. He's kind of come out of his shell a little bit as he's become a playmaker for the offense. You know, it's a really good locker room, to be honest.
What do you think happened with Chip Kelly there? Because there's a lot of interest in our state over, you know, it's the former Ducks coach, and he goes there and doesn't have success there, and then he's in UCLA struggling there. What do you think? Where do you think he went wrong?
You know, I think San Francisco was a tough place to be for a head coach. I think what they did, bringing in Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch at the same time, was really fortuitous because those guys have contracts together. They work together. as opposed to when Chip Kelly came in. You know, he's got a certain offense he runs, and if you're not given the right guys to run that offense, and, you know, if they're not taking his input, then it makes it much harder for him. So with an established GM and then Chip Kelly coming in needing certain guys, and maybe if he didn't get them, or, you know, if the communication lines weren't open for him to get those guys for his offense, then it makes it really challenging for a coach to be able to do what he, you know, his forte is on the field. So I think that was probably part of it. So what's great for the Niners is that, you know, Kyle and John are really locked at the hip, and they're in this for each other because, you know, they want to be here for the long haul.
Jennifer Lee Chan with us, NBC Sports Bay Area. When I went home to cover the Pac-12 championship game earlier in December. I noticed everybody was wearing Niner gears. It's like all my old friends who are Raider fans are suddenly Niner fans. What kind of enthusiasm is there for this team right now? And have Raider fans jumped over, given that the Raiders are leaving for Vegas?
I think that's a big part of it. I think also, you know, any team that wins is definitely has a growing fan base. But the Niner faithful have been really good all season. They've been very vocal, both home games and away games. And, you know, I think just finally to have a winning season after so long, really, since Harbaugh's years, I think there's, you know, kind of a relief and excitement that, you know, has been, I mean, hasn't been matched in a long time. This is the first playoff game in Levi Stadium ever.
Wow.
So that's a big one.
Yeah, I don't even think about that. That's crazy. And then, mm-hmm. you think about Garoppolo and his first game, the stadium, the first game. And you know, MVP of this team, is it Kittle?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely Kittle. Not only because of what he does on the field, but what he does in the locker room. He is always positive. He outworks everybody. He is one of those guys that really sets the example. And for him to have been a captain last year in his second year is just, I mean, that just speaks for itself. He is one of the guys that everybody looks up to. They look to him for leadership and motivation. And I think on the defense, you've got Quan Alexander. So if they get, you know, getting him back tomorrow is huge. Both those guys, one huge motivator on the offense, one huge motivator on the defense. It makes a big difference for how everybody performs on the field.
All right. You were a 49er fan from a distance. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Washington State in enemy territory.
Oh, wow. So you're all up here in the Northwest. So Seahawks fans who are listening to the show probably hate me because I'll talk about the Niners. But so you grew up like a Niner fan in Seahawk territory.
I did. I mean, of course, back then, I won't tell you my age, but it does kind of give it away. But you couldn't watch Niners games up in the Pacific Northwest. You can watch any games except for what was local. So I grew up watching the Seahawks. I didn't, you know, dislike them at the time. They were kind of, you know, the redheaded stepchildren of the NFL at the time. So, you know, for me, the newer kind of Pete Carroll Seahawks fans are like, do you really know what happened back then? You know, the people that don't know how the first Kurt Warner Kurt was spelled.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of respect for Seahawks fans. I grew up there with them. But, always been a Niner fan, but it's genetics. You know, you can't fight that.
Yeah, thank goodness you had a grandfather who had his head screwed on straight. Jennifer, I appreciate your time and appreciate your work. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, John.
All right. Jennifer Lee Chan, NBC Sports Bay Area. Good follow on Twitter. She's got her finger on the pulse of that Niners locker room, and you can tell she has fun doing it. Professional wrestler, too. I want to ask Adriana about that. Did you look into her professional wrestling at all?
No, I did not.
She's apparently was big time back in the day.
I will look it up now.
Would you want to be in professional wrestling?
I've thought about it just for like the athletic,
yes,
point of it. But I think the acting is where it loses me, just because I'm not an actress.
You're not fake.
No, I mean, it's not being fake, but like, I'm just not what you hear on radio is like me. I'm not, you know,
you're the same off air that you are on air.
Right. Exactly. And I don't do well when I'm like forced to act or anything like that. So,
but there's a performance to this show that, you know, there's a performance element and then there's a performance element for wrestling.
I mean, yeah, it's a performance element, but I feel like it's pretty genuine to who I am. So it's not like it's not hard for me to do that. But like with the wrestling, it's very, very played up and I'm just not that type of person.
Interesting too, that I didn't know she'd grown up in the state of Washington. And so she grew up right among the Seahawks fans who were listening to the show. and had a grandfather who was a Niner fan. My grandfather, who had moved East Coast to West Coast, was a Steelers fan. Because if you lived in suburban Pittsburgh and you happened to be there, you know, at any stretch of time, you became, you know, he worked in the steel mills. He was a Steeler. That was what his thing was. So he always rooted for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I can remember back in the day, Steelers went to the Super Bowl. I think it was the 79 season where the Steelers played the Rams in the Super Bowl. And it was Vince Ferragamo on the Rams side. And, of course, John Stallworth and Lynn Swann on the Steelers side. And there was a beer company that did a beer can that had the Steelers team photo on it. Like, this would never happen today, right? So they put the Steelers team photo on the side of the beer can. I remember my grandfather had this beer can he would not open because it had the Steelers on it. Still, I don't know what happened to that beer can. He may have been buried with that beer can, for all I know. But he was a Steelers fan. But my grandfather, living in the Bay Area, he became a fan of the teams that were successful, too, because he was a Yankee fan and he was a Steelers fan, being an East Coast guy. I was like, why not the Pirates? Well, because they were the Pirates. So, he became Yankee fan, Steeler fan. He liked winners. Okay? That's what I took from that. So he became kind of a de facto Niner fan when they got really good. He rooted for them. And I'll never forget one time as a media member, I said, this would be really cool. I had an extra opportunity. There was a press seat that was available. I asked my boss, you know, would it be all right? My grandfather came with me, took some notes. He said, that would be fine. So I had to tell my grandfather, going into the press box at then Candlestick Park, I had to tell him, you know, you can't cheer in the press box. You can go in there. You can sit in there. It'll be very sterile. It'll be very quiet. You can take notes, but you can't cheer. And I remember the very first time the 49ers scored a touchdown, my grandfather jumped out of his seat and started, yeah, you know. And I said, yeah, you can't do that, Grandpa. You can't do that. You got to take notes. You're here. And that's how I got my first experience, really, as a media member. I was 12 years old when I got credentialed to go cover a 49ers game for the first time. My aunt was a photographer at then San Francisco Examiner. And she said, do you want to come to a game? You can hold my bag. I need somebody to hold the film. You're going to have to run the film. They had film in those days. It was not digital. You have to run the film out to the guy who's ready to run it to the paper out in the... So she gave me her bag, and I had a credential, and I stood on that sideline watching the 49ers play the Raiders. And she would shoot a roll, and she'd hand it to me, and I'd have to run it to the tunnel of the Candlestick Park and give it to someone else who was taking it down to the newspaper. But... So I have a great history with the Niners and Candlestick Park and whatever, but maybe I'm just rediscovering myself as a sports fan. Maybe that's what you're witnessing. So don't find it that obnoxious. Okay, I'm trying to find joy again. Don't ruin this for me. Even if the Niners lose, I have enjoyed being a fan this season. And you know which two games I've enjoyed the most? Were the Seahawks-Niners games. 49ers lost one and they won one, and damn, they were good games. All right, coming up, Punch It Audio. It's the best sound from all around. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network. Chelsea Audio Video, go to ChelseaAudioVideo.com if you are interested in making your home smarter. And I can give you practical, real-world applications. Like, I can tell you that when I was in Pasadena for the Rose Bowl, I was able to, with the touch of a button, look in and see everything going on around my house and the backyard and the side yard and the front yard and the driveway and get motion alerts if somebody came up the walkway, and turn lights on and off and music on and off and control my home. It's a big deal to me, given that my wife sometimes is walking through the door with kids and the ability for her to push a button if it's dark out and the kids can feel safe walking into the house at night. It's a big advantage. You can even open and close and unlock a door using your mobile device. Their Control 4 system and Chelsea Audio Video can take care of you. They installed it in our house, and one of the fringe benefits of that is they redid the whole network for the house, meaning that we used to have all these streaming problems. You know, who's watching? Turn off your phone. We're trying to watch a movie. Can you? Everyone turn their Wi-Fi off. We used to have to do stuff like that. Now, with Chelsea Audio Video's expertise, their engineers, their installers, we have a network in our home that is lightning fast. It's good for my job. It's good for when I want to stream Succession or whatever. Go to ChelseaAudioVideo.com.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth Headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Well, we'll be a little NBA heavy, but let's start with the Pac-12 Conference. Peyton Pritchard and the Ducks. Late in the game, punch it.
Pritchard is calling for it here. Shot clock down to 5. Pritchard falling away. Yeah. Ties the game at 66.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Game ended up in overtime, but Pritchard with a great shot at the end of regulation and then a block shot on the other end of the court sent the game into overtime where Oregon found a way. Great college basketball game. Oregon beating Arizona in a tight one. To the NFL, where Kyle Shanahan said the stakes are clear. 49ers coach, punch it.
Everything's different because if you lose, it's over. So everyone knows that, and that's a different feeling. But to me, that's just feelings. I mean, that's nerves and emotions. After that, nothing's different. It's a football game. The rules are all the same. Nothing changes.
49ers have a coach who's in his first big-time playoff game in San Francisco. They've got a quarterback who's in his first big-time playoff game in San Francisco. Got a stadium that hasn't hosted a playoff game before. Niners are going to have to be on point. They also have some players on the roster who have been in big games. Richard Sherman, one of them. Here's Sherman. Punch it.
Just being disciplined. You know, they run the ball well. Kurt is very efficient for what he does. He doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't make very many mistakes. So just being on the details just like they are and being locked in for 60 minutes.
George Kittle talked about the approach they have to have against Minnesota's defense. Here's the 49ers' spirit animal. Punch it.
They do a good job. They focus on tight ends. So, I mean, I'm just, whatever Coach Shanahan has schemed up, I'm just going to do that. You know, it's been working for me so far this year, and I'm just going to keep doing that.
Kyle Shanahan's been really good at getting players like George Kittle in position to succeed. It's been a real strength of the Niners. They're fun to watch on offense. Their defense is super aggressive, great defensive front. That makes everybody playing behind them that much better. I think the Niners are the best, most talented team in the NFC. But they have question marks. They have question marks around leadership. Shanahan, Garoppolo at the front of that. Mike Zimmer, Vikings coach. It's a big moment, and he understands it. Punch it.
I can't speak for their team. I do feel like us being in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago, we can draw on some things through that course of that process that we had. And, you know, as these games continue to get bigger, the distractions become bigger. And so I think we can draw on that. You know, it's still going out and playing good football.
Vikings make a point there. Zimmer's got a point. I mean, they've been there before. And I think it benefited them in beating New Orleans last week. Derrick Henry was the hero for the Titans against the Patriots. He's now got the Ravens. Here's Henry. Punch it.
We got to put drives together, score points, try to keep them off the field so they don't score points because, you know, they score fast. We got playmakers. I mean, we just got to put what's in the plan. We just got to execute it and do what we need to do. But, yeah, I just say that why not us and, you know, and just keep the underdog mentality and, you know, just keep pushing.
The underdogs go to Baltimore. Titans, a bit of a surprise to be here. Baltimore will make it its mission, though, to not let Derrick Henry beat them. It's going to be on Ryan Tannehill. That's what Baltimore has to do. And on the other side, it'll be really interesting to see the Titans' defense try to stop Lamar Jackson. Short of an injury, I do like Baltimore to win this game easily. Meanwhile, Pete Carroll says he's got his hands full against Aaron Rodgers. Punch it.
He's ridiculous. He's so good, and he controls the game so much, and he does so much at the line of scrimmage. Every aspect of the quarterbacking position, and his extraordinary accuracy making throws.
Two most experienced, great quarterbacks that are left playing on either side, AFC, NFC, are Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love his skill set. Lamar Jackson, he's your MVP. But you give me two guys at the line of scrimmage that can make a difference, changing plays, improvising, adapting, seeing something that a young guy might miss. It's Rodgers and Wilson. Two old guys in a young man's game, so to speak. New York Giants have introduced Joe Judge as their head coach. Joe Judge talks about how to get winning culture. He's got the Patriots culture that he's been immersed in. Punch it.
We're going to start by showing up on time, by having a plan, for executing that plan. It's going to be fundamentals. I'll tell you this right now, and I'm sure this is going to come up somewhere along the line. I'm not going to be the offense coordinator, the defense coordinator, or the special teams coordinator. I'll work with all three sides of the ball. But the primary focus I'm going to have as a head coach is I'm going to make sure we are fundamentally sound, we're situationally aware, and that we play with relentless effort.
I'm ready. He's got a great name, too. Joe Judge. That's like a 1950s football coach. What's your name? Joe Judge. Dun dun. It's like a CSI episode. He's got a. Has he got talent on that team, though? Says he does.
I have an outsider's perspective. We have a lot of talent on this roster. It's been assembled that way for a reason. I don't want to sit here and try to give you expert analysis without having done my due diligence and homework to sit down and thoroughly investigate each one of these players. They all have ability. I'm excited to work with every player on our roster, and every player on our roster will compete for whatever they get. Nothing will be handed out.
All right, I'm saving that clip because that's how guys, it's like the people getting on the shuttle to go into Disneyland sound like that. And then coming out of Disneyland, they're like, we were just terrible. It was a long day. You know, we'll get them after a game. Do you ever watch the people's energy level, like, before and after they go into Disneyland? Joe Judge has got that look about him right now. See how that goes. John Mara is running the Giants, the Mara family. He said he was very impressed by Judge.
I have to tell you that this was perhaps the best coach interview that I've ever been a part of. When Steve met with him on Tuesday morning, he felt just as strongly as we did. Joe is someone who has certainly been on our radar for the last couple of years. When a coach works under Nick Saban and then finds his way onto Bill Belichick's staff, that's something that you take note of.
Still, the Giants have been one of those mysteries. It's not as bad as the Knicks. Okay, what is, though? But the Giants have been a real mystery. The New York Giants should always be good, decent or better in football. So should the Knicks, especially in today's NBA. Finally, Russell Westbrook felt like he was home again. Punch it.
Some things you can't put into words just because I've been there for so long and so many great memories, great people, obviously the best fans in the world because they come with it, and tonight they came with it. And the organization, Sam, Mr. Bennett, you know, they do an amazing job of just making you feel home, and I feel like I was home.
Thunder beat the Rockets 113-92. Westbrook had 34 in his return. Chris Paul also had fun on the other side of this game. He scored 18 in the win for the Thunder. Here's Paul. Punch it.
Russ, it's so fun to play against him because he's so competitive. You know what I mean? We actually pretty close, but in between these lines, you wouldn't be able to tell, man. But great reception from the fans, as it should be. Did so much for this city. But like we said, great team win for us, too.
Oklahoma City over the Rockets in a game a lot of people had circled on the calendar when they saw Westbrook and Paul change teams. Peter Sampson, surprise you that the Thunder won this game?
No, they've actually been playing really, really well. I think the tank is off for at least a year.
Who got the better of that deal? Because initially I went, that Rockets 100%, and now I'm looking at it going, you know, the Thunder might have figured something out, too.
Yeah, I think it's still got to be the Rockets. I mean, well, I don't know. Those picks are going to potentially be valuable when, you know, Westbrook and Harden aren't getting any younger. So at least, you know, for this year, it's still the Rockets. But I think we got to look 3-4 years down the road to actually evaluate this trade.
The deal went like this. Thunder traded Westbrook to Houston for Chris Paul. They got the 2024 and 2026 first-round picks for Houston, and they swapped picks 2 other years, which who knows on that. But you break that down now, 6 months later, I'll take the Thunder side on that one.
You think so? I mean, do you think that Chris Paul's going to stay there, though? I know he's leading him to wins, but he's got to hate that.
But I just don't think either one of those franchises is going to win an NBA championship. Like, I don't think Houston's going to win it. Okay? And so what did they just... They gave up 2 draft picks to the Thunder. Maybe they're not going to be great picks, but the Thunder are going to come away with 2 first-round picks in 2024 and 2026.
Yeah, and that's the thing is those might be great picks, especially then, 2026. Is Harden going to be around now?
By then, as long as the Rockets are no longer trying to win, you know, that's the... But even so, even if you give me 2 first-round... Now I have 2 first-round picks I can put together and maybe make something out of that. And neither one of us is winning a championship. And oh, by the way, they're only separated by 3 games in the standings right now. Kind of feels like Oklahoma City is the early winner on that one.
Yeah, and then you throw in the Paul George trade. They have something like 7 additional future first rounders over the next 6 years.
You're gonna stockpile a bunch of 19-year-old kids.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.